Hello, neighbor. Hello, friend. Come hither and hear about my grisly end. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Ooh, boy, chilling. And that was a little early for something so morbid and macabre. But thank you to Side of McGee for that wonderful catchphrase submission. And unfortunately, I don't believe it's going to stick. I don't believe that will be our permanent one, but we are ever on the hunt for that permanent catchphrase. And welcome to the show. This is Comedy Bang Bang for another week. We are mid-May. We are we're definitely not in hump week of May. That'll be next week. But we are certainly in the throes of May. And we have a wonderful show. By the way, my name is Scott Aukerman, if you're confused about that point. And we have a wonderful show. We have a social media expert coming up a little later. And we also have a disruptor. Whoa. I hope this show doesn't get disrupted. Boy, I want it to go smoothly. But apparently, someone is going to try to make it all go off the rails like a retired train. I hope not. Wow, that'll be interesting. We also have an actor coming up right about now. Why don't we get to him?
Is that what I am now?
Yeah, I believe so. You what used to be more of a writer and a boss and a mentor to me, but now you're an actor. And he has all of that and a bag of chips. He's munching on a bag of chips, if you heard the rustling during the theme song. He's my old boss from the Mr. Show days, but you probably don't know him that way. You probably know him more as the star of iCalSal, and he was in Breaking...
Little Women. Little Women. The story
Little
of
women.
A
People
father.
Loved it when
the
he
story
showed
of
up
a
in
father.
Little Women. I let out such a huge laugh when you walked in Little Women, not because of your performance, but I'd forgotten you were in it, and I was like, ha ha, it's Bob. I was happy to see you. But he is the aforementioned Bob. Please welcome back to the show, Bob Odenkirk. Hello.
Hi, Scott. Hi, you guys.
So now, Bob, you're in New York for what reason?
Oh, I have a break from shooting Better Call Saul Season 6, our final and amazing, powerful season. It's going to take a long time to shoot, and we had a little break, and I took it to come to New York and see my
You wanted wife to see Saturday Night Live, right?
Yes. I wanted to finally see the show that everyone's been talking about for 40 years?
45 years? 46
yeah,
years
so
at this
long
point.
That people have been talking about it, and I've never seen it. I don't know what they do there. I have no idea, you know, how it works. You know, I don't watch a show until I know how it works first.
Sure.
Now that's you're the same way, right?
I
mean, you're
course,
the same
yeah.
way, right?
No, I was.
You don't just willy nilly put the TV on.
No, I was watching Bridgerton the other day because I figured out exactly all of the camera angles and I learned all of the names of the grips.
And I was
like, okay, now I feel comfortable.
Ground up.
I know what's going.
Ground up. Yeah.
Sure. Of course.
I mean, these people who just put the TV on and you know.
What are they doing?
I don't get it. Well, they don't know what they're watching. They have no idea what they're watching.
It's like trying to show an iPhone to a caveman. They can't understand it, right?
Right. I guess they're distracted by it, but they can't begin to understand.
Actually,
what
thinking
really
about
watching.
It, I think if you showed an iPhone to a caveman, like they would pick it up in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you're right.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh, so this communicates with the other person, and then okay, and if I press this button, okay, yeah, I got it. Bob, are you all right? Are you choking?
I'm choking myself.
Oh, yeah, you're a big autoerotic asphyxiationist, aren't you?
Not for erotic reasons, no.
You're a non-erotic asphyxiationist.
It's actually good exercise. It's the new wave. I don't know if you know. It hasn't gotten to your part of L.A. yet, obviously, Scott. But
sure.
Self-asphyxiation exercise is the best way to go because your muscles are deprived of oxygen, and therefore they have to work triple harder. So in 5 minutes, you can get the workout done that you would have gotten in 25 minutes. But so Anyway,
and all
it
you
all
have to
sense.
Do is just choke yourself and let yourself technically die for about 120 seconds.
And it makes perfect sense. And then you go to the cryogenic machine and get yourself frozen.
Next to Walt Disney.
And you feel like $1 million. You feel like
Although with inflation, boy, $1 million doesn't go quite as far as it used to, if you know what I mean.
That's why you need to do more exercise than you did before.
That's right. You need to feel like $10 million just to feel like $1 million these
days. That's right.
Bob, speaking of, look, you mentioned two things that I want to follow up on. You mentioned Better Call Saul, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's a television show appearing on the AMC networks, which used to
sporadically.
Yeah, sure. No, it's if you turn on AMC, it's not just going to be there. You have to turn on the right times.
And we do new seasons every 2 years, so.
Sure, yeah. It is a prequel, and you're trying to end up looking younger than when you first started Breaking Bad, which is...
First thing I said to Vince and Peter when they said, we're thinking about making this show, and they meant it. I said, you know, I'm 50 years old, and keep that in mind. And they just totally blew that off.
Yeah, they don't listen.
They ignored it. They don't care. You know what I think? They assume the audience doesn't really care, and I think it's true. I think the audience, there are obviously people who point it out, but most people are like, I don't care. You're telling me a story. Just tell me the story.
Tell me the story. I'm not going to look at your old face
it's
while
what we're
you
saying,
tell me
though,
the story.
Scott, it's like people don't, they don't do the homework on their TV shows. They don't find out how they're made, where they're
look
made.
Look up the ages of every single actor.
Where was it shot? I will watch it. First, I'm going to visit all the locations where you shot it.
Sure, so that I know every single place, so I have the geography in my head. Well, I get very confused whenever they switch to a different angle. I'm like, oh, what is this? I was just looking at this guy, now I'm looking at this guy.
I try to tell them, don't switch angles.
Don't do it.
The directors want to do that. It's a flashy thing that they've got.
I mean, I'm a purist when it comes to cinema. I like the train coming right at me, and I get scared, and I run out of the theater, and I scream that we're all going to die. That's what I like when I go to the movies.
Yeah, and I like the original movies. You know, there's a great short. I think it's probably the most evocative and dramatic. It's the men leaving a factory, and it's about 3 minutes long. And all of life is in there,
You think at some point he's going to go back into the factory, and he never does.
The men. It's a bunch of men leaving a factory, but yes, not a one of them turns back and goes in unless you rewind it backwards.
Which you do not want to do.
Everything went downhill after that.
Yeah, it really does. But Better Call Saul, being within that downhill trend with cinema and television... When you were on the show before, Bob, you did us a big favor and you gave away the end to Breaking Bad.
Right.
And I'm going to ask you to do it again. Can you just tell us what happens in the final episode of Better Call Saul?
The character has evolved and he's gained a new maturity and self-awareness. And in the final scene, I'll be making a perfect Cinnabon and I'll win a... I win an award from Cinnabon.
Whoa, from the actual company? They know how to make them.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, the show, as you know, is about Cinnabons and how they're made and the people who make them.
Yeah, that's the first scene. You have to bookend everything, so that
And then we'll end
sense.
With that, and he'll make that perfect Cinnabon, and his life will come back into color, and he'll get that award from the main office. He will not get, he's a manager already and he will remain a manager.
Does he become a district manager
the pride that he gets from making that Cinnabon with just the right amount of sugar and margarine is, I think it just completes everything about Breaking Bad led to this. You know what I mean?
Sure, of course.
Breaking Bad was really about this one character's desire. And I don't think a Cinnabon is a Cinnabon. It's a metaphor.
But it is a Cinnabon as well.
I was going to say it's a metaphor for a cinnamon roll.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now, are Vince and Peter going to go back into the early Breaking Bad episodes?
Cinnabon, how it
and
started?
Insert a Cinnabon into your hand digitally in one of these episodes, just so it really makes all the sense?
Yes. And I don't know how you got that leaked. I don't know how that leaked out.
Yeah.
But
I saw
now
that.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows.
And then I also read the last page of the script of the last episode. And right after you make that Cinnabon, suddenly Walter White comes in.
Yeah, and so we hug.
You hug, of course. And it's a long hug. It's like a 5-minute hug, which I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
But you hug for a long time. And then he shakes your hand and he says, "Well, I guess I'd." And then he looks in the camera and says, "Better call Saul." And then it just goes right to the end.
Well, then that song plays at the end of Merry Melodies. And the circle gets smaller around our heads. And,
right.
This is the dream ending of the show. And if you'll all write in to Vince and Peter and Sony Pictures and ask them to please do the ending that Scott and Bob came up with.
Right into the Sony Pictures lady, the lady holding up she's holding up a torch, isn't she, or something? Or is that Columbia?
That would be Columbia, but there's no Sony Pictures lady.
There's got to be a Sony Pictures lady. And this is what we're holding auditions for, the Sony Pictures lady. If you want to become the Sony Pictures lady, hit up me and Bob. You know that we're roommates since back in the day. Come by our apartment at some point.
And we have a lot of pull over at Sony.
We certainly
do. Really important.
Well, Bob, the other thing I wanted to follow up on is you mentioned eating and exercising. And this into play because I saw a little movie by the name of Nobody. And you are in it.
You didn't see the whole movie?
I saw a bit of the movie. I only saw up until the credits. And then I didn't want to read everyone's name because I had already memorized them.
Right, right.
But you
what can I tell you about it?
It's great. My God. I want to know your exercise regimen. That's basically what I want to know. And this is a question usually reserved for women on the red carpet, but I want to hit you up with it.
Well, wow. I did a version of it on this men's health video that you can see on YouTube, but
are you sure that was actually a men's health video? That wasn't just a strange porn video that they had taken from your phone that they stole from you?
No, the porn video that I made in my other career is my full workout. This is just partial.
Oh, okay.
This doesn't include the fucking and the sucking and the blowing.
Sure.
And
this is all the weightlifting, which is part of that other video.
Right, right.
But how did you get into this? Did you get cast in the movie and said, "Uh-oh, I better exercise," or had you been doing it before?
No, I made this movie happen. Scott, it was my idea to try to pull off an action film.
And so you exercised before the deal came
long
together?
Long before. 2.5 years before we shot anything, I started training with Daniel Bernhardt at a place called 8711, which is a facility in L.A. that is all stunt people training for films. And that was because the producers who liked the notion said, get started, you know, whatever. If you're willing to practice, go ahead. And I was, because I wanted to do my own fighting, Scott, like a real Jackie Chan man.
Yes.
But I really did. You know, I love Police Story. And when we were writing Mr. Show, we used to watch cool old movies. And
We wrote a big stunt action scene into the Run, Ronnie, Run, the ill-fated Mr. Show movie,
which
none of us got to be in. And it reminded me of that when I saw you on there's a scene on a bus where you're beating the shit out of a bunch of people. And and you pull it off. You genuinely looked more intimidating.
Well, I really learned to do that kind of screen fighting. I spent so much time at the gym, but I knew I had to, Scott. And your point, I think, that you're trying to make is that the idea of working out and training for a movie when it isn't, you know, set up, that hasn't been, it's, you know, the chances of any movie getting made are always so slim. You know, you're really going way out on a limb.
And then you would have wasted all that gym
time.
But
I wouldn't have. I would have gotten in good shape. You know, I'm 58 years old. Huh?
Who cares? We're all going to die. So, like, you know, how much time?
Oh, no,
left?
I'm not. Not me.
You wasted not it all me. In that gym? You're not going to die?
No.
This is a big,
no,
this is big news.
I'm going to keep working out and drinking juice and, you know, getting my, as we talked about, getting myself asphyxiated
sure,
a couple
of course.
Times a day.
What do you eat? Because I read an interview with you where you essentially are
just
eating avocados.
Sandwich.
You ate a sandwich
what?
Right in front of me and that
yes.
bag of chips.
You know,
but how guilty do you feel about it?
I don't feel guilty at all. I would feel guilty about, I think I've got a better ability to stop eating something like that, like to eat half of it, like I just did, than I ever had in my life. And I still eat chocolate and ice cream and everything. I just don't eat a lot of these things, but right. I have them every day. And I mostly eat, you know, I have a sense of what's healthy. And, I kind of juggle around a sandwich or something, a lot of healthy stuff, and I work out every day. And
right.
So
how,
when
how,
you're doing
how,
that,
how many hours are you in the gym every day?
About an hour and 10 minutes.
Hour now. And 10 minutes. Okay. Now, if you were yeah. about to make a sequel to the film, which we'll talk about the sequel soon.
Oh, then
soon,
it'd go to 3 or 4 hours a day.
3 or 4 hours a day.
You yeah, know, but you're training choreography and stuff. Yeah. You're not like just doing weights and stuff. You do that stuff for maybe an hour, and then you learn
choreography. Could I go into the gym and lift a 5-pound dumbbell for 4 hours and look like you? Is it just the time you're there?
It takes time. Yeah, you got to... Your body doesn't change in a
but
day.
But it's just the time, right? You can do as little as you want as long as you're there
right.
for 4 hours.
As long as you're standing near a thing called a gym, your body will shed the weight. You know what? Scott, I really, it was a weird thought that I could do this. And I can't believe I
I read an interview. And look, I don't road. Just sit around reading interviews that you do, Bob. Don't get that right. impression, you know? Like, I could have just called you myself and asked you all these questions.
You
but
you have other interviews to read.
Sure, of course. But I did read an interview about how this film got made. You took a look at how well the TV show was doing in foreign markets. Is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you said, hey, what if I made a movie that did well in foreign markets as well, which are mainly action films because they right. translate well. And you just got it together and you did it.
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time. It took years. And I think I was more surprised by the fact that when I first suggested it, no, people didn't say you're crazy or that could never happen. Most everybody who heard it, the pitch, which was basically that, you know me from Mr. Show and all this comedy that I did, but around the world, like, nobody's seen any of that. They've only seen Breaking Bad,
it.
Better Call Saul, The Post, these kinds of movies. And I play it in especially in Better Call Saul, I play like an earnest guy who's like kind of devious and
it's
very
an earnest
wily.
Film almost. Like Ernest goes to lawyer school.
Well, we wanted to call it Ernest is nobody. But there's some legal thing where you can't just use the Ernest name.
The lawyer. And you're a lawyer on that show. Couldn't you have like figured it out?
Actually, to become a lawyer in real life, I have to do like 10 more episodes.
Oh, okay.
And then that will make me an official real lawyer.
Oh,
you
good.
Have to do, you either have to go to law school and pass the bar, or you have to do 60 episodes of a TV show that is based in the legal system in some manner. All the people on Night Court are all lawyers yeah. and judges mm-hmm. now.
John Larroquette represented me when I had a misdemeanor.
Mm.
Misdemeanor
Missy
theft.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
she's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer, weirdly enough.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah, yeah it's
and,
crazy.
And they just said, you know what a misdemeanor is, clearly. That's your name. You clearly have a basis for legal thinking and thought and the structures and strictures of legal law. And we want you to please be a lawyer. And Missy Misdemeanor Elliott said, please, thank you. I would love that. That's very mm-hmm. honored to be me. And I appreciate you. And together
they came to an agreement
and that's why at the Supreme Court right now there's only one justice, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
That's right. She decides on everything. Oh my gosh. Well, Nobody is a really great film. It's out right now on video. I like to call it video upon request because I'm not, you know, pushy like that, demanding videos be shown to me.
Right.
But
you better.
But and
you
people can
also
you show me this motherfucking film.
Right, you don't have to demand it.
No, but people can go to theaters and demand that the ticket taker sell them a ticket.
Surely.
It's out right now, and people, I would suggest seeing it. And it's the writer of John Wick, isn't that correct?
He wrote it. Yes, Derek Kolstad. Yeah, great guy, really fun guy. And he's the one who, more than anybody, got it, I think, made it a reality because he has such good credibility in that area. And he loved the idea of the dad who's hiding for years and then he kind of cuts loose. And and also our director, Ilya Naishuller, is a really cool dude who those two guys, I think the spirit of the movie is from them. And that's what people seem to love. I mean, I'm very thankful that I pulled it off, you know, the fighting. But
are you accepting an award right now? What's going on?
I have accepted two awards in the last half hour. You haven't been paying attention.
I'm sorry. I hear a speech
and they refuse
to
play the walk-off music. But you guys are great. I love you.
No, it's really good. You sent me a copy of the film before it came out in Kulop, and I watched it. And Kulop was, I didn't tell you this, but Kulop was like leaping to her feet and pumping her fist in the air.
Really?
And it reminded me of when we went to see The Raid Redemption, where we were all like dancing in the aisles during the fight scenes. It's really cathartic, and it's really a good time in the movie. So if people can request it or go into a theater, I would suggest it. If people can request it, I would suggest it.
Are you going to stick with that rhyme?
I think so. I may be the next Misdemeanor Elliot.
Well, listen, man, thanks for the compliments. You know what movies are like. It's very hard to get them right or have them come out the way you dreamed they might.
And will this crossover with the John Wickiverse? Will the TikTok man and you? I would love to see that.
I doubt it because one of them is Universal and one of them is Sony.
But they're
two different companies who don't.
Michael Keaton could play the same character in both Jackie Brown and the other one. Okay, Out of Sight, was it?
You might be right. I mean,
I would love it because you know Jason Mantzoukas plays the TikTok man in the John Wickiverse. To see the two of you, it's like a Godzilla versus Kong thing, or Aliens versus Predator thing, where it's nobody versus the TikTok man. That is like a license to print money. Which, if you can get one of those.
Right.
They don't give those out, licenses to print money all that often.
Why don't more people just try to get that instead of trying to earn money?
Next time you're at the DMV.
Earning money is a fool's errand. It's a waste of energy. Just go apply so that you can print money.
And then you can spend those 3-4 hours at the gym.
Don't counterfeit money. Get the license.
Get the license. And then you can put anyone's face on it.
It takes like a 3-day weekend seminar. You have to sit there, and this is where George Washington's face is, and this is where the strip is, the golden strip, and don't forget this, and blah, blah, blah. Just sit there, pretend to take notes, and you'll get your license.
And then?
It's legal.
It's legal. As long as you don't print more than $500, it's legal.
Right. And get mitten. Scott, this is our one steps
one process. Step process. Get minted is the only step. Well, nobody is out there right now, and Better Call Saul is out there. I did want to just ask you about your book because I know that you're about to write it.
I wrote it. You already wrote it.
How many times
years.
Am I mentioned?
It took me forever.
How many times am I mentioned?
Probably
how many?
Twice, maybe four times. Yeah, Scott Aukerman's in there for sure. It took me forever to write it. It was really unpleasant to write it because I was so bad at writing.
Also, anytime you were doing push-ups and you had a 30-second break in between reps, you would write
one
a
word.
Little... Yeah. And you had to really choose your word carefully.
That's right.
Because you could never repeat it.
That's right. I could never erase it. I could never strike it out. I had to stick with it and live with it.
And you, well, I had read that you had used the word "the" really early on in the process, and then you're like, fuck, why did I use it so early?
I can't repeat it even once. It's going to come out in January of next year.
Wow.
But I finished writing it months
ago. Have you seen the galleys? Have you seen the cover?
No. I've seen the cover. The cover is on Twitter. You can see it on my, I tweeted it out. It's all about Mr. Show, mostly. I mean, really, truly, it is about starting out and trying to make my way until I got to the greatest show ever.
I'm sure it covers, of course, I'm sure it covers the motivational speaker with Chris Farley. You wrote
There's a lot of nonsense about Saturday Night Live because it's such a stressful and unpleasant challenge for me. And like a lot of people, it takes up way too much space in my head. And so I did write a lot about that. And then I wrote a lot about Mr. Show. But I also wrote about all the shows that nobody saw me do and try for that, you know, never made it to the screen because I feel like, you know, I want people who are starting out to have some sense of what a career looks like, which is mostly shit.
There's the impression that you're the golden boy. You went immediately from Chicago to Saturday Night Live to Get a Life to the Ben Stiller Show to Mr. Show. And then we're just handed this part on America's Greatest Drama, which then you spun off into your own show. And yes, all of that is true.
Right.
But there also were various scripts that you and I tried to write that never went anywhere.
Lots of them. Tons of them. Literally tons.
Literally 2,000 pounds worth.
It would weigh more than one 2,000 pound increment. I think it's important to share that stuff, right? Don't you?
Of course. And if anyone were interested in a book that I were writing, I, of course, would do it. But no one cares about my adventures in the screen trade, meeting Barack Obama. Who wants to hear about that? Twice,
yes,
of course.
Your adventures in the pod trade.
Yeah, oh, boy. That's even less people are interested in that.
Well, you're a revolutionary in the podcasting world.
I'm a lot like Paul Revere of podcasting. Just
look out.
Look out. These are going to be popular. Conan O'Brien will have one of these one day.
Podcasts are coming. Get out of the way. Run. Burn down your house.
But please burn down your houses.
Asphyxiate yourself.
I cannot wait for the book. I cannot wait to see this tell-all book and what you have to say about me.
It tells very little, but thank you.
Well, we have to take a break. Nobody is in theaters and on video on demand right now. Bob, you can stick around, right?
Yes, we have
some other guests to get to. When we come back, we are going to have a social media expert and a disruptor will be with us. We will be right back with more Bob Odenkirk after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Bob Odenkirk of the Naperville Odenkirks,
yeah,
is here with us. He, of course, Ben Stiller Show, played Abraham Lincoln, I would imagine, in a sketch.
Many times.
Of course.
I've been Abraham Lincoln many times. let's see if we can go down my list of credits. Miller Beer commercial.
Whoa. Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah. Miller Beer commercial. What else? The Tom Show. Tom Arnold. The Tom Show.
That's right. We knew him just as Tom at the time, and then he added the Arnold afterwards. And that was because Gary Coleman passed away, and he finally relinquished the rights to Arnold, which he played on Different Strokes. Yes?
You know what should mic you. You shouldn't be mic'd.
I know. How much better would this podcast be if my mic were turned off and you just had to guess at what I was saying? And people could insert themselves asking their own questions. It's like a choose your own adventure book.
Which is the last thing everybody wants to do.
Yeah.
I pick up a book because I want you to tell me a story. I don't want to have to tell myself a story.
It's like suddenly I'm doing your work for you. Like, pay me for the book. And this is the other thing. Bob, a lot of people are paying to see your movie, but they're taking time out of their day. Shouldn't you be paying them to see their the movie?
Scott, we've had it wrong since the beginning of time. And you are the only one who figured it out.
It's like 2 hours of their day. Like, pay them minimum wage, you know? Pay them $30 when they come out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do that, starting now.
We will get that done, but we do have to get to our next guest, if that's okay.
I want to meet these people.
You want to meet these people. Let's bring her on. She's been on the show before. She is a social media expert. And Bob, I think you could use some tips on this because you tweet very sporadically.
Yes.
So she's a social media expert. Please welcome back to the show, Francesca Bolognese.
Scott, I'm not a social media expert. You always get it wrong with your team. I don't know who at your team say the wrong thing, but I am not a social media expert.
I beg your pardon. I don't have a team necessarily as much as...
Your team of people that you work with, they get it wrong every
time.
Look,
I know that I have 20 people standing behind me right now, but they don't work on the show. They're just watching.
So I am not a social media expert, and I know last time I come on, I work for Bed Bath & Beyond, and Best Buy Beyond. I don't work for them anymore, Scott. I get a new job.
You have as Rudy North said, you have a new job.
I have a new job, yes.
This is incredible. Bob, I don't know if you have ever listened to the show before. I'm doubting that you ever have, but Francesca here, what would you do? You were working for Bed Bath & Beyond, and you would go on to Instagram posts that they would post and argue with the clients? Is that essentially what it was?
Let's say somebody comment on a picture on, like, I don't know, Twitter of Bed Bath & Beyond product, and they say, oh, I went to Bed Bath & Beyond and I buy myself a VCR, and inside the VCR I find a lot of little hairs. Well, that, for me, then I commented, no, you a piece of shit. Why you not take your VCR, go sink to the bottom of a pit of mud and die? I get fired for that.
Wait, you got fired? I thought you got hired for that. I thought that's what they wanted you to do.
No, they didn't know that I was doing what I was doing.
Oh, no. And you confessed it on this podcast.
Well, yes, but mostly because I comment on Bath & Body Work. Bath & Body Work a post, and I say, why you not take your body wash, cucumber-scented body wash, shove it up your stupid butt and drown with the body wash in your body till you die?
Oh, no. So you're not only responding to complaint posts that people do for your own company, Bed Bath & Beyond, but you're out there trying to snipe other companies and tear them down?
Yes, Bath & Body Work, they sue Bed Bath & Beyond, and then they fire me. And I say, what do you want me to do? Where am I supposed to go?
Yeah, yes. Oh, when people are fired, you should be given, like, where you should go.
A different job.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you should be, you're fired from here, but now walk down the street.
It's like take a penny, leave a penny. Yeah. Like, you know, get fired, you know, but also you get hired here.
Yes.
And that didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen. I have a son. I have a son named Rudy.
What?
When did you have the son?
Before
you
were fired? We've never talked about this.
Is this new? Did you just have a baby?
No. He is, he's 17 years old. I had him for a long time.
You just had a 17 year
old? How long have you had him? About 17 years?
I got him about, 15 years ago, I got him.
Okay, yeah, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
So I said to Bath & Beyond, the CEO named Richard, I said, Richard, what do you want me to do with my son? Where do you want me to go? And my husband, Ryan.
Right. Who
does, you have a husband, too? This is,
does he work? Does your husband work?
My husband, he work. He make the blades for razors.
He makes those? he works at the factory?
Yes.
Or he does them one at a time.
He work at the factory, but he make each blade by hand for Gillette.
Wow, handmade artisan.
Has he ever cut himself? Everyone asks.
That's gotta be the question.
He's constantly on medical leave, which is why I need to work for both of us. So I
bet in that plant they have one of those, you know, days since the last time accident, but it says hours or even minutes.
Seconds, maybe, or moments.
So I say...
Anyway.
Yes.
I'm sorry to take you down this side road. I know you're trying to express something important.
No, obviously, but Francesca, you've never mentioned your family. I've never even brought it up.
So you've
I apologize.
Been fired because you willfully and on your own offered critiques of some of the commentary on social media of your own company. You were trying to defend your company, and then you started making snippy comments about other companies.
You are almost a lawyer, Bob.
Well, I think the term snippy comments gives it away.
Of course.
I've obviously studied for the bar.
What would Sal say about this?
I can settle it for you. Just give me a lot of money and I'll lie.
That sounds about right. That guy.
That character.
Wow.
Now, listen. What are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do? You have a son? You have a husband? Neither of them.
This is what
So what are you going to do? No, that's us asking you. What are you going to do? You can't just say yeah.
So I
you can just agree with
it. CEO, I say, what do you want me to do? He says, you know what? Bed Bath & Beyond open high school in Chicago. Why you not go work for the high school?
What? Wait, Bed Bath & Beyond opened a high school?
Yes.
So it's like a branded high school?
Yes, everything Bed Bath & Beyond.
Really? This is incredible. Yeah. I mean, I wonder, I've always wondered, Bob, and I'm sure you have, why don't more companies open high schools? You know what I mean? Like Subway. Okay, it's a sandwich shop, but why don't they open a high school?
This I don't know, Scott. there's a dearth of imagination in some of our boardrooms.
So they opened a high school in Chicago, and they said, why don't you just go work there? Is everything in the high school Bed Bath & Beyond, like you can find it in the actual Bed Bath & Beyond stores?
Yes, every product is there. The mascot is one bath and one bed.
the school mascot?
The school
mascot, yes. So,
one bed and one bath. Room.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Wow.
So I had to move to Chicago.
Oh, no. The worst.
So I go to Chicago. I'm like, what the fuck is this place? Everything's so... everybody's so drunk all the time. Everybody tell me that I should know where the lake is because that's how I know where I am in the city.
That's all they care about there. Ugh.
Everybody tell me I need to eat a pizza. I go to a stupid restaurant.
Deep dish.
I wait 8 hours, 9 hours.
9 hours? I can fit in 3 gym sessions.
Out comes a lasagna and the pie crust. So
wait a minute. Are you just doing your stand-up chunk about Chicago right now? Or is that what you're working on?
Yes. So that's another thing. I get into comedy.
Oh, yeah. Everyone in Chicago is into comedy.
I mean, improv, I take a second class.
Yeah, everyone is there. Yeah, it's mandatory when you move to Chicago.
So it's just been really a lot of trauma and trouble for you.
The two TRs.
Since you were fired. But you do have a job at the Bed Bath & Beyond High School.
Yeah, what do you actually do there?
High school or junior high?
It's a high school. I work as a guidance counselor for the kids to get into college.
You're a very critical thinker. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of good for a guidance counselor. You can analyze things.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So do you feel... Is it working out? Is it a good job? Or because you sound like you're very unhappy with Chicago. All the things that you have to do there, eat at Greek Town, the Cubs games.
Go to Sluggers.
Every Cub game you have to go to?
I had to go to every Cub game. I had to go to the Cubby Bear Bar afterward. I had to go to Sluggers and hit a ball with a bat.
No, every day?
Every day.
Scott, you've never been to Chicago, obviously.
I've never been. I will never go.
Every day they want me to eat mozzarella stick at 1 a.m.
Oh, jeez.
It's a burden.
It is.
But you sound great. I'm just going to say that.
You truly sound amazing. You sound like you have a wind beneath your wings, a fresh pep in your step. You were saying your son is at the high school?
Yeah, it's my son, Richard E. Du. He go to the...
Wait, what was that? Richard E. Du?
Richard E. Du.
Richard E. Du?
Yes, Richard E. Du.
Could you spell that, please? Richard E. Du?
R-I-C-H-A...
A little faster, though? Could you do it maybe even a little, just even 10% faster? Richard E. Du.
Richard E. Du.
Okay, all right. I still am not getting it, but go ahead. So your son, Richard E. Du.
Yeah, he go to the high school with me. He said, "Mom, can you please stop being guidance counselor? You hurt everybody's feelings. Oh, yeah. Everybody's so sad."
Right.
I say, "This is my job. This is what I have to do." So I tell the kids when they come in, they say, "I want to go to Yale. I want to go to...
Right. Complaints.
Harvard, become an investment banker."
Oh, these little whiners.
I say to them, "Listen to me.
Go to
no.
hell.
Yeah. Go to hell. But why you know do something else? Why you know go work for my cousin? Why you know go work..."
Wait, you have a cousin? This is another late-breaking announcement.
"Why you know go work for my cousin? His name is Ricotta. Ricotta Bolognese. He work in, he make toys for the pool."
Mm-hmm. Pool toys. Not for for the pool.
Yeah, for the pool. "Okay. Why you no go work for Ricotta?" And they say, no, because of my daddy want me to go to Yale. I say to them, "Your daddy want to go to Yale because he a piece of shit, a stupid idiot man with a lot of money in a Range Rover. Why he no go drown to the bottom of the pool where Ricotta make the toys?"
Ricotta makes the toys at the bottom of the pool?
And let me ask you something. This is so you're giving the kids, generally you're giving them the advice that they should go work for your cousin.
Does your cousin Ricotta need more employees? This sounds like a one-man operation there at the bottom of the pool.
He needs somebody blow up the toys.
Oh.
But he needs somebody make them blow up.
So you haven't found a single kid who's willing to do this?
No, I have. I send the kid to go work for Ricotta. But I have a lot of cousins, so my cousins, they get all these free labor from these high school kids.
Oh, it's free? They're not even getting paid?
No. It's a year abroad.
Oh. How do you justify that? Like, how is the abroad part of it working? Because they're in, where are you from again?
I'm from Italy. I'm from Torino.
Oh, that's that accent. That's, yeah.
Now I recognize it.
I guess I'd never thought that people in Italy would need pool toys. Because when you think of Italy, that's not the first thing that comes to mind, you know? Like Stanley Tucci, in his big documentary that he makes, you never see him playing with any pool toys, but they must have a lot of pool toys there.
Well, see, this is why you have such a small American brain, Scott, because you only think, my America is the only place that has pools. The only place we swim.
Yeah, Scott, come on. No, they have... They have pools in Italy, and they need toys for them.
Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. It's my small
Stanley
American
Tucci
brain.
Doesn't show you all of Italy.
Well, that's the thing. If Stanley Tucci is going to do a documentary about Italy, I want him to cover every square
aspect
inch of Italy.
Life. And yeah. And he's not. He's focusing on food. He hasn't had a single good meal there. I've watched like 4 episodes. It's just the worst.
And not only that, what happens after you eat? You go take a dump, right? You never see him taking a dump.
Immediately after?
Well, you have to go online and they have the extras. Have them, dump it.
Well, Francesca, this sounds horrible. I mean,
is it so horrible? She's getting work for her cousin.
Yeah,
she's getting workers for her cousin. She's getting an opportunity to complain and critique people.
That's the thing
that
you love the most.
Invited to do it. She's very good at it.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
And And probably she's going to get fired. That's not good.
What? No, I'm not going to get fired.
The parents aren't going to like that you're so negative to the children.
I can't believe you haven't been fired yet.
No, the parents, they come to me. They say, where is Mackenzie? I need her to come home. I say, Mackenzie is with my cousin, Gnocchi. And she is making handmade towels with the gnocchi in Torino.
Handmade towels. Wow. Those sound, are they fluffy? Are they comfortable or are they thin?
They're very thin, Scott. But they don't dry easily. They soak up the water, but they don't dry.
Wow. You have such an extended family we've never discussed on this show. I mean, it really begs to be talked about in a further episode, but unfortunately, we don't have time to do it.
Well, I'm sorry that I was just going to say it's nice to hear a working person on the show. You know, we don't always hear the stories of people who are just doing regular jobs.
No, I mean, like earlier on in the show, I was talking to some rich guy who had 4 hours a day to spend at the gym. And, you know, so it's like.
And this is important to hear from people, real people doing real jobs. In this case, guidance counselor in a Bed and Bath and Beyond high school.
Who's the rival high school, by the way, that you guys are always, there's a big rivalry with?
The rival high school is Best Buy High School down the road.
Oh, God. So
their mascot is a big iPhone case.
Oh, just the case, not the actual iPhone.
Just the case and no phone.
Oh, God, boy, I hate those guys.
It's so stupid. At this point, I'm like, well, you know what? If I can change one kid's life, that would be a success. But at this point, you know, I send a 40 kid to my cousins, and everybody's life has changed now.
Wow. But, 40 kids over there in Italy with your cousins not getting paid. Yeah, you've altered the course of their history forever.
And the principal, he come to me asking me why, where the kid go. I say, you listen to me. Why you not take your stupid principal ass, go fly into a fire in the middle of a volcano full of shit. Yeah. And then you explode and you hit a wall and you fall down a cliff.
Oh, no, God. Oh, jeez.
And what did he say to that? There's nothing to say to that except yes.
Do you just sit there and take it?
He took it. Yeah, he take it. He's a weak man.
That's like most men. They're weak. Yeah.
Most men are so stupid. My husband, Ryan, he's a chuchuzo. Ryan. I tell you what, he's a big-time chuchuzo idiot.
Okay, we don't need to curse on that. I'm assuming chuchuzo is a curse. I don't know.
Chuchuzo mean a... like a douchebag.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't even like you saying douchebag.
Oh, no?
No, I mean, those things go up into a very private part on a woman's body.
Yes, I know. I have one.
You're wearing one right now?
I wear them every day.
Oh, God. Is that what they make you do in Chicago as well?
Oh, yes. They make me wear so many douchebags while
I'm off the train. They hand you some mozzarella sticks and a douchebag.
The L. I get off of the L.
Oh, the L. Yeah, they love to call it the L. Jeez. Well, look, Francesca, we're running out of time for this segment, but can you stick around? Because we have a disruptor coming on the show.
Oh, yes. I'd love to see this.
Okay. Please don't give him any of your sass. Any of your patented sass.
We'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Bob Odenkirk is with us. We also have Francesca Bolognese. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang. We're back here. Bob Odenkirk is here. Nobody in stores now. And go to any store, they'll have it. And then when does Better Call Saul actually premiere? Can you break some news
I
here?
I do not know.
Well, come on, you know. You just can't say, right?
I genuinely don't know. I don't think they know. They haven't figured it out yet.
Really?
Not for a long time. And that's because it takes so long to shoot it and so long to cut it together. So if you love Better Call Saul, I promise you it's going to be great. I also promise you it will take way too long to
Would
make
you
it.
Feel bad if there's a Better Call Saul fan out there who loves the show, who dies before the last season?
Terrible. Terrible.
Would you feel bad if anyone dies before Better Call Saul comes out?
Everyone stop dying, okay? I can't. It's too much guilt.
It's too much responsibility for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's tearing you apart, I can tell. We also have Francesca Bolognese here, who is currently in Chicago and is a social media expert. And
no, I'm not a social media expert.
I'm sorry. No, I keep forgetting you're not a social media expert. But you're good at
counselor.
It. Do you have any tips for Bob here?
No tips. My tip is get off a line, become a human being like a normal person, not some stupid idiot online, a little troll, little psychopath.
Okay. All right. I have an opinion. Sounds like you are a social media expert.
I have an opinion about your show that you're on. Let me tweet at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but sometimes people tweet good ideas for Better Call Saul, I would imagine. You use them, right, on the show?
Everything that we do is, as you pointed out earlier, a choose-your-own-adventure type scenario.
They're crowdsourced ideas.
The ideas are crowdsourced, as are the lines. Yeah, everything is written by the fans.
By the fans, for the fans. That's how you like to do it.
As you see it.
That is the way the best art is made.
Yep. Well, speaking of how things are made and doing things a little bit differently, we have a disruptor here on the show. He's been on the show before.
Clinkety clank!
Yes, that is, of course, his catchphrase, which I believe he came up with on the previous episode.
A returning guest.
He is a disruptor. Please welcome back to the show, Skins McGlinty.
Hello, Skins McGlinty, my
Skins.
Friend.
I'm so sorry. I thought it was Skins, but now I'm realizing it's Skins, mainly because you corrected me.
Yes. No, I am not, in fact, a British searing teen drama that has launched many careers.
The
name ain't
not.
Skins, it's Skins McGlinty. Don't you forget it. Clickety clank.
Clickety clank, of course, your catchphrase. Welcome back to the show. This is Bob Odenkirk of, I don't
Hello,
know if you watch.
Skins.
Oh, no.
Skins
McGlinty. Bob, big fan of Monkey Bone. Honored to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's all been downhill since then, but I'm glad that there's people like you who paid attention to the quality when it came out.
Yeah, I would always see these movies where there's a head surgeon, and I said, but could this guy catch?
That's right.
I know he's good in the operating room, but let's see what happens if he gets on a football field. And then I see you chasing Chris Kattan, trying to catch all sorts of internal organs. I said, this guy's good.
Big Monkey Bone fan over here. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Francesca Bolognese. I don't know if you're similarly a fan of what she does.
A huge fan. Huge fan.
Hey, really?
Yes,
wow.
I love watching arguments play out online.
In real time. So
you're a troll guy. I get it. Okay. You guys are my biggest fans.
I'm like a troll hunter.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
I ain't a troll myself, but I like viewing them from a distance. Clinkety clank.
Clickety clank. Clickety clank. Well, Skins, last time you were on the show, you were essentially you're a disruptor, but more specifically, you are...
Look, last time my career was a little more narrow, let's say. I was exclusively a new-timey prospector, of course. I came out to California to follow that rush, that gold rush, and start mining for bitcoins.
You're a crypto guy, essentially.
Well, but now I've changed, Scott. I mean, first of all, I need to thank you.
You need to thank me? This is unprecedented. I don't think anyone has ever thanked me on this show, and I defy anyone to come up with any tape where anyone has thanked me.
I certainly never have before. I don't think I thanked you once in my past appearance.
Thank you, Scott. I never thank you.
Yeah. And Bob, I mean, you've never thanked me in your life. Not even, I got you a glass of water once, I remember,
Scott,
when we were working together.
When we met, I told you, you can rely on me for a couple things. One of them, I can help you figure out your sketches, where they go.
You definitely did that. Where they go. You didn't help me with the writing of them. Just
no.
And weirdly enough, you were always like, oh, put that on Mr. Show.
Number two, I will always share your sandwich.
Yep.
Whatever you're eating.
That's the other thing. You were bragging about only having half a sandwich now. You always took half of my sandwich back in the day. So this is not a new thing.
And then thirdly, I will never thank you.
Yeah. And
I've come through on all those promises.
26 years of never being thanked.
Well, I guess you can call me Bizarro Bob Odenkirk, because, Scott, I'm whipping up a big thank you.
Wow, this is crazy. All right, hit me with it. Hit me with it.
Scott, living proof of the CBB bump. I don't know if you notice. I don't know if you read the news.
Never.
But October 2019, I appear on the show talking about mining for Bitcoin. Mm. And since then, Bitcoin has gotten very big. It's a CBB bump.
It's not a bump for you specifically. It's just for the actual concept of Bitcoin.
Well, I don't know.
The value
remember?
Is increased.
I have a lot of Bitcoin.
How many Bitcoin do you have?
Two.
I mean, it's more than I have. So, hey.
But Scott, I've used that capital and I've decided I'm out of the Bitcoin mining. I'm ready to use that capital to disrupt. I want to disrupt multiple industries, Scott.
Multiple industries?
Yeah. Cryptocurrency is a thing of the past, Scott.
No, don't say that. My whole identity is based on it.
This is the opposite of a CBB bump. It's a CBB punchdown. I'm knocking Bitcoin out of circulation.
No. Bob, how many Bitcoin do you have? This is bad news for you because you're
a big 30.
You're a big crypto guy, I know, Bob.
I have 30 Bitcoins.
Oh.
Crypto is the past, Bob. Take note. Take out a notepad, Bob.
Take out your notepad, Bob. I know you have several around
you
right now.
Glimpse of the future. Bob, the future is unencrypto.
Unencrypto? Unencrypted things?
Unencrypted currency. I am here to announce the creation of Skintcoin. This is a radical new development in the world of digital currency.
Okay. I mean, as I understand it, cryptocurrency is basically the whole the thing that attracts people to it is the fact that it has a unique code that has to be constantly mined and uses a lot of energy and is constantly solving algorithms.
That's what people like. They like that it uses that much energy.
Right. But what they like about it is that the code is not cracked and it is unique to them. And in fact, right. I read an article about a guy who couldn't remember his password and he had $10 million worth and he only had two password tries left and he's bummed because he can't figure it out.
Yeah, my friend Jack. Yeah.
Oh, that's Jack. Oh, okay. Wait, is that the Jack from Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He's friends with Tom.
Oh,
MySpace.
Oh. So am I, though. Yeah.
Remember,
so he's a mutual friend.
Guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Skins is acting out Tom looking over his shoulder right now.
If you want to remember a password, and this is not a social media tip, by the way.
No, of course not.
But if you want to remember a password, you take three people that you sleep with, that you slept with. One person that you did just a hand stuff with, you cut all of their name in half, put it together, and put an exclamation mark and then your favorite number.
Okay, so what is your password?
So my password is right tie my John 13 exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
No, exclamation point 13.
Oh, okay. So Rye must be Ryan.
Yes.
Ty was the next one?
Ty is Tyler.
Tyler, okay. And then my would be...
Maya.
Maya. Oh, okay. So
woman.
So you swing both ways. Okay.
And then John. I did a hand stuff with John.
Okay. But is that short for Jonathan?
No, it's just short for Johnny.
Johnny. Okay, great. And then your favorite number is 13. Interesting.
Yes, it is my unlucky number.
Okay, great.
See, this was Jack's problem. This is only slept with two people, and he abhors hand stuff.
Oh, no.
Well, why?
Too bad.
Mouth only with that guy.
But Skins, back to my original point.
Yes.
If the algorithm is crackable and it's unencrypted, anyone can steal this cryptocurrency, can't they?
Scott, there's a reason that I'm a disruptor, you're not, okay? Because I'm thinking eight-dimensionally. What you're saying, of course, is how, if the code is unencrypted, are you going to keep the currency safe? And I said, wait a second. Let's take it off the computer, okay? So this is the radical invention of Skintcoin. Skintcoin is physical cryptocurrency. Yes.
Whoa.
I make coins.
Yep.
Okay. What do they look like?
They are small, circular.
Circular. That's the best kind of coin.
Yup. They got me on them like this. I'm doing the Tom on the
coin. You are doing the Tom currently. You ever think about hexagons or octagons like a stop sign?
Never. Never, never. That's no, there's no market for that. Skink coin, the entire point is you put the skink coins in your pocket. No passwords, nothing to forget, no hand stuff.
But your pocket, you get heavy with the skink coin.
Yeah,
very
that's
heavy
a good
pocket.
Point.
Well, I thought about that. Okay, so this is what I said.
Have you invented lighter pants?
People, no. No, I'll leave that one to you. Let's see how far you get with that.
Okay, well, I've been trying for several years to have like pants that defy gravity. So if you have heavy coins, it sort of evens
sure.
out. But I've gotten nowhere with it.
People were telling me the coins were too heavy because they were made of solid gold, right?
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Because I was like, they gotta have the value inherent to the sure. actual physical object.
And weight people and say, heft.
They said too heavy. So I said, here's what I'll do. I'll print out pieces of paper. And then I'll write on the piece of paper a number. And then I'll tell you, look, I have a gold reserve somewhere. This piece of paper is like a contract. It's a promise that this paper is worth this amount based on the gold I have sitting somewhere. Just trust me.
It's a note that has some sort of promise, a promissory note, one might
say. It's a promissory note. Yeah.
Okay, this is a good idea. This is,
yeah.
You truly are disrupting it. And so people would just like carry these pieces of paper with them? Like they're, what is it, a book? They're carrying a book with them in their pocket?
No, individual slips. Maybe you put them in a bifold.
Okay. Is it like the e-tickets that Disneyland used to have? The A tickets, the B tickets?
Yeah. Yes.
Where they have different values and stuff?
Yes, exactly. And you can use them to buy goods and services. Like, for example, I don't know if you know about this, NFTs are huge.
Oh, yeah. NFTs are very big right now. Bob, you're an NFT, aren't you?
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Non-fungible tokens. I said, that sounds restrictive. I'm here to announce fungible tokens.
Just FTs.
You can funge them. We got funge them all over the place.
Well, obviously, Skins, this is a good idea, but I see one major problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't I have so many slips of paper in my pockets at all
wow.
time. Just slips,
that is very
slips,
cocky
slips.
Of you to say.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, not your slips, certainly, but, you know, just random slips of paper everywhere. And I would worry I would get them all mixed up and I would, you know, be handing people some of my other slips, which I hold very dear to me when I'm trying to use your slips. You know, I mean, this just it doesn't sound like it would work out.
So what you would prefer is something like a virtual skint coin?
Yeah, maybe like a plastic card or something like that where... You know, I could walk into a place and then say like, hey, this card, if I show you this card, I don't have to give you the slips of the money. I can just show you.
That's interesting. So you're saying instead of individual pieces of paper with different numbers written
yeah.
on them, I give you one piece of plastic.
Yes.
And you essentially bring it around to people and go like, Skints is good for it.
Just trust me.
Just trust me.
And we can call it a trust me card if you want
yeah.
or...
No, I think we'll probably call it a skint card.
Oh, okay. All right, sure, if you want your own branding on it.
That's what I'm saying, like these fungible tokens. You put your money somewhere safe where the value can only grow.
Okay, and do they have your picture on them?
No, I mean, there are all sorts of different fungible tokens. Like, I thought, oh, here's a fun thing, because they're sort of like, I'd say maybe like small pieces of paper, the fungible tokens.
Okay, sure.
So I said, like, what should I put on these so people know they're not money? And I was like, let me put some athletes on them.
Oh, really? Like who? LeBron? King James?
Yeah, sure. King James, Jose Canseco.
Wow.
Honus Wagner.
Well, you know three athletes.
Yeah.
Find another one to do some hand stuff with and you got something.
Well, hey now. Hey, here's some other things. Look, because I'm trying to build an entire empire here, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Email. Who needs it?
Yeah.
Amen.
No, enough with
get
it.
Get it out of here.
Enough with it. Thank you, Bob. Enough with
yeah,
it.
Enough.
I'm getting too many and I can't keep track. Where did I put them?
So
where
what
did
is
I put
your
them?
Solution? You still want to communicate with people.
I do, but I want to add back. A little human touch. So I'm introducing S-mail.
Let me guess. The S stands for skints.
Clickety-clank, yes it does.
Okay.
S-mail is artisanal, handcrafted email.
Okay, wow. So what do I do? I go to my computer,
nope.
I type out an email, nope. And I send it to you, and you write it out?
No, sir. Clickety-clank, you get a piece of paper.
Okay.
Would you believe it? It all starts once again with a piece of paper.
Okay, but like papyrus, essentially.
Sure.
Like what the ancient Egyptians used. They would, you know, cut like a little stuff off of trees.
Yeah, and what James Cameron used for the Avatar poster.
Right. Well, right. Gosh, this skints, I mean, this sounds great. Where can we invest? I mean, obviously, Bob has a lot of money, and Francesca seems poor to me, but I'm in between.
I am poor, but I'm going to be rich soon when my cousins send me back the money that they make from the little kids.
It sounds like you're involved in, like, child slavery.
No, Scott, they're 18.
Oh, this is good then.
For me, you know, everybody was always waiting for me to turn 18. When I turn 18, everybody's so happy.
Okay, I don't know.
What? You don't? Why? Why you don't want to talk about it?
I don't want to get into your sordid past.
So many cool guys in my community waiting for me to turn 18.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, look, Skints, this sounds like a great idea. We would all love to invest. Clickety clank, of course. I'm not sure why you're not calling it clickety clank money or. You have a famous catchphrase. I'm not sure why you're branding it with your name instead of your catchphrase.
Clickety clank.
No, hey, thank you, Bob. That's going to up the value of that catchphrase right there.
Clickety clank coin. Clickety clank coin.
It's like if Bob were to, you know, make some sort of money like this, he'd call him goddammit coins.
That's true.
Well, no, but that's what I was going to say. By your logic, the show would be called Mr. Show with Goddammit and David. There's
true.
A difference between your name and your catchphrase.
That's right. That's
I don't
the,
know.
The coins say clinkety-clank on them.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah. Then I have no further reservations.
Yeah. Right under the Illuminati signal. Yes, what's your question?
My question is, when I walk with all my coin in my bucket, do they go clink-clank, clinkety-clank?
Yeah, they do, like a bunch of pots and pans.
So everybody hear me when I'm walking around, okay?
Yeah, they go, that's a splinter.
I got an idea for you. You make a cargo short with a branding for clink-clank.
I've been working on this. A lighter cargo short.
All the most hottest guy wear cargo short.
Yes.
You put the full stuff, full the bucket with the coin and make it look really heavy and droopy. Mm-hmm. Everybody like, wow, he a cool guy. I want to hang out with him.
He's cool and rich.
And he loud. He's so loud.
He's so loud. He's like deafening.
Yes.
Wow. These are great ideas. Well, Skints, you've done it. You've cracked the code. Literally. Literally.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time here. We only have time for one final feature on the show, and that's a little something called plugs.
Hey, mister. Wait up, would ya? I'm a little baby plug boy. I could plug all night. I don't have a mom and dad. I'm covered in dirt and sad. I'm a broken lad. Excuse me, chum. Can you spare a plug? I don't have any family love. That was just a tap dance I've done. Thank you for the plug.
Wow. Oh. Amazing. Wow. That was Little Baby Plug Boy by Christina Orlando. Thank you so much, Christina. That was amazing. I love the dancing. That was incredible. Well, that really that puts a smile on my face. And what better time to plug things when you're smiling? Bob, you have anything to plug?
No. But you haven't seen Nobody yet, go see the movie Nobody. And what else? Wait. I'm plugging the idea of waiting for Better Call Saul.
Okay. And weight in general. Things weighing amounts of things according to
both
meanings the pound
of
system.
The word.
Or kilos.
Both meanings of the word. Wait with time and let time go by.
Of course.
Leave it alone. It'll go by just fine without your help.
Yeah, you don't need to push it or anything like that.
And then also wait. Lift weights.
lift weights, gain weights, lose weights. Wonderful. Francesca, what are you plugging?
Okay, so obviously I'm not a social media expert, but I find a great account. I think Jason Mendoza's account on the Twitter. So many funny jokes about the being in Chicago being so stupid. it's at Lily.
So it's a palindrome, essentially. It's Lily and then Lily backwards?
No, because no, it's not. So I don't need to explain to you why, but it's not.
It's L-Y-L-L-I.
It's not confusing, Scotty. You take a pen and paper, you write it down right now. L-I-L-Y-Y-I-L-Y.
Maybe Skins could put it on his money. Would you mind putting that on your money?
No, I'll S-mail it to you. I'll put a scamp on there, and I'll S-mail it to you.
Oh, wait, these need stamps? I'm out.
No, they don't. They need scamps. They're little stickers.
Scamps.
Retain value. Well, they got Rosa Parks on them.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, I'm back in then, definitely. Great woman. I saw her on a Doctor Who episode. Skints, what are you plugging here?
Well, I'm hosting a Mad TV this weekend.
okay, so Elon Musk, by the way, he just hosted SNL last weekend, and so you're trying to one-up him?
Well, I actually have a background in comedy. I mean, how many times has Elon Musk been on Comedy Bang Bang? I feel like I've earned my right
to host
Mad TV.
That's true, two appearances, and you have a background in comedy.
Yeah, but so look forward to that. Of course, we're doing a sketch, Stuart buys a scamp. clinkety clank. What else?
You, by the way, you can't just say clinkety clank to save a bad joke.
I think I can clinkety clank. there's a movie podcast I like.
Really?
That's worth its weight in gold. Clinkety clank.
Okay.
It's called Blank Check with Griffin and David. And it's David Sims, who's a critic for The Atlantic, and some dumb fucking comedian. And they talk about movies and directors, and they go through entire filmographies. And it's a real fun time.
Is he one of the Sims that I was playing with?
He is. He's the tallest of the Sims.
Oh, okay, right.
He's move the height all the way up, and you're like, that's... It feels like it's an attack on other people who have to stand next to him.
Well, I want to plug, Threedom is my other podcast that comes out on Thursdays. That's with Paul F. Tompkins and Lauren Lapkus. It's just the three of us, and it's just us sitting around as ourselves, shooting the shit and playing games and stuff. That comes out on Thursdays, so subscribe to that wherever you can get podcasts. All right, let's close up the old plug bag.
When you see something open, get a rope up and start to twist. Then you find that you're getting a little I missed. You think you're crying and you know what to do. Get up in there and do what you do. You gotta open up the plug bag. Open it up. Open up the plug bag. Make sure it's not closed. Open up the plug bag. Make sure you got oxygen. And don't mess around with it. Yeah. Make sure you don't mess around. Don't mess around. You make sure you don't mess around. 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 Don't mess around.
Open that shit.
Wow.
Wow.
Francesca literally said wow and echoed me in the remix. That was Mac and Carol made the closing up 2021 remix. Incredible. Thank you so much for your remixes. I don't think we've repeated one this entire year. You guys have been doing great with the remixes. But speaking of doing great with things, Bob, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I know there are a lot of podcasts you can be on, and thank you for choosing ours.
You're welcome, Scott. Good to see you.
It's great to see you. And Francesca, it's great to see you again. Good luck being out there in Chicago, being poor. And
it's such a drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But I have a whole stand-up special that I release.
How long is it? Like, did you come up with a whole hour or is it even more?
It's a 2 hour.
Two and hours.
A half.
And a half. Oh, my God. That's almost an Irishman.
It's so funny, Scott. My whole improv class gave me note. It's so funny. Everybody punch up the
script. I can only imagine. You're so hilarious anytime you're on the show. I know you don't mean to be, but you just...
No, I mean to be.
Oh, now you mean to be funny? Now I don't think you're that funny.
No, I'm not.
Okay. And Skints, great to see you. Good luck with
your... Clinkety-clank, thank you.
Clickety-clank, of course. Yeah, and I wish I had a catchphrase that I could end the show on, but all I can really say is we'll see you next time. Thanks, bye.